Brother Faisal was born in Jamaica in 1963 and embraced Islam at the age of 16 in Jamaica. He studied Islam and Arabic for 8 years in the Imam Muhammad University, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. He graduated in 1991 and now does Islamic work in the UK. So I now hand over to Brother Faisal to give the talk. Jazakallah.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Believing brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته As for our non-Muslim relatives and friends and colleagues, may the guidance of Allah be with you all. On behalf of the Islamic Society of Portsmouth University, I would like to take this golden opportunity of thanking you for inviting me here today to speak to you on the topic Islam, the religion of the future. Today, the 9th of October, 1996. I pray it will be a memorable sitting and we'll have many more sittings like this one and that we'll leave here today gaining maximum benefit from everything which will be said. Also, I would like to thank the Student Union for allowing this gathering to take place. And I pray Allah Ta'ala that the relationship between us and the student union will be a wonderful one so that we all can benefit. You may hear or you may read that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world today. Now, since Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world today, it's unavoidable. So there is no non-Muslim who can say he or she didn't hear the word Muhammad, peace be upon him, or Allah, or Islam. So if something is the fastest growing religion, it's natural that you would like to find out why it's the fastest growing religion. If there is a car which is the fastest selling car, your natural instincts, the instinct of curiosity, will prompt you to find out why is it the fastest selling car? Is it because of reliability? Is it because it's cheap and strong? Is it because it's good on petrol? You will find out why and you'll try to benefit from that information. I am here today to give you 13 reasons, and there are many reasons, but I don't want to take up too much of your time, so I'll be concise. 13 reasons why this religion, Al-Islam, is the fastest growing religion today. There are many Muslims who object to the terminology religion to describe Islam because it gives people the notion that it's just for the four corners of the mosque, the masjid, when in fact in Islam we have a special way to do everything: walk, talk, eat, sleep, drink, even to cohabit with our wives, to go to the loo. There's a special way for everything. So we prefer to say it's a way of life, an entire way of life. God Almighty Allah has promised Islam a brilliant future. And before I proceed, I would like to define the word Islam. The Arabic word Islam means total submission to the will of Allah, God Almighty. Therefore, a person who adheres to Islam, who professes Islam, submits his or her will to the will of Allah. So the person doesn't say, I want this, I want that. The person asks himself or herself the question, what does Allah want? Because I am a Muslim, I submit my will to the will of Allah. So the person asks, what does Allah want of me? So the Muslim is the one who submits his will to the will of Allah. And the way of life is called Al-Islam. The first Muslim was Adam, our father Adam. When he was placed in the Garden of Eden, he was told to eat and drink, approach any tree except one tree. One tree. That tree was a test for him, a fitna. But if you should put a child in a room and the room is filled with videotapes, most of the tapes are cartoons, but one tape is a horror film, and you said to the child, you can look at any film, but this videotape, don't look at it. It's not for you. Look at any film but except this one. If you should leave that room, which film do you think the child would want to look at? The same film that you tell the child not to look at. Because we have a natural instinct called curiosity. This is why men went to the moon. Curiosity. It's not a bad instinct. We can benefit from it. It becomes bad when we transgress beyond bounds and interfere in matters which doesn't concern us. So Adam was told to obey Allah and to avoid the shaitan, the devil. So he was taught Islam, total obedience to Allah. Allah promised Islam a brilliant future. So Allah said in Surah Saf, verse 8, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. They continuously seek to put the divine light of Allah out. But Allah is forever brightening His light, even though the unbelievers are vehement in their hatred for Islam. So, how do they try to put the light of Allah out? With scandalous books, the like of Salman Rushdie. With tabloids, newspapers. With the radio, the television. Branding the true believers as fanatics, fundamentalists, terrorists, extremists. But even though this is going on, Allah said, but I will forever brighten my light, even though they are averse to it. They hate it. So you'll find that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world today, even though there is absolutely no religion that was slandered like Islam. People don't slander Buddhism and Hinduism and Confucianism the way they slander Islam. In another verse, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على دين كله ولو كره المشركون. He it is that has sent his messenger with the Huda, the guidance, and the religion of truth, to be victorious over all other way of life, even though the unbelievers are against it. Now that I have quoted to you the two verses of the Quran in Surah Saf, verse 8 as well as 9, what are the various reasons why Islam is the fastest growing religion today? So we'll go into the meat of the matter. As I said before, we have 13 reasons. The first and foremost reason is because of the Islamic concept of God. That's the reason why I became Muslim. There is absolutely no religion in the world today that can provide you a logical explanation about God Almighty. So we have certain questions to ask, and we have to provide the answers for all these questions. Question number one. Is there really a God? Or these are fables from the men of old made up by religious leaders just to take our money off us? And if there is a God, who is he? Is he a human being? What's the nature of God? Also, where is he? Where is God? How did he come into existence? You may think the last question, how did he come into existence, doesn't make sense, but there's an answer for it. We'll answer these questions one by one. There is a supreme being. There is a God. Is he a human being? No, he is a supreme being. If you say human, it means weakness. God Almighty has absolutely no weakness, so he could never be human. So he is a supreme being. How did he come into existence? The answer for this, God Almighty never came into existence. You and I, we came into existence. Our parents met each other. They fell in love, or maybe their marriage was arranged. Then they cohabited. Our mothers conceived, then we were born. We developed from stage to stage. From a clot, then the embryo, then the fetus, then we were born. We came into existence after we weren't in existence. It is the creation. It was the creation that came into existence. But as for God Almighty himself, he never came into existence. God Almighty is always existence. He is always existing. This is why the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to say, Allahumma antal awwal laysa qablaka shay wa antal akhir laysa ba'daka shay. Oh Allah, you are the first without any beginning. There is no one before you. You are the last without any ending. There is absolutely no one after you. Anything that has a beginning, something is responsible for bringing about that beginning. For example, the tape recorder, the microphone, a car, anything you can perceive of. If it has a beginning, something or someone is responsible for bringing about that beginning. So since God Almighty, no one is responsible for bringing about his existence, his beginning, he has absolutely no beginning. He is always in existence. It's you, the creation, who came into existence. Another question, where is God? Some people claim God is everywhere. Others claim he is in heaven. Others claim he doesn't have a place of his own. All these three answers are wrong. God is not in heaven because heaven is a part of his creation and he doesn't dwell inside of his creation. He doesn't live inside of his creation. Ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet, said, this world, the seven heavens and the seven earth, are like mustard seeds in the hands of Allah. He doesn't dwell inside of his creation. Is he everywhere? Also illogical. You consider it below your prestige, your dignity, to enter the brothel or the pub or the nightclub, the practicing Muslim. It's below your dignity to enter the pub, the brothel or the nightclub. So if you wouldn't enter these places, how can you think, entertain the idea that Allah is there? Are you claiming that you have more prestige than Allah? Also, he's not in the toilet sewage. He's not everywhere. It's his knowledge which is everywhere. His knowledge. So where is he? He is on his throne above the seven heavens. Not in heaven, because he doesn't live inside of heaven. He is on his throne above the seven heavens. Another aspect in regards to the Islamic concept of God. I will refute the atheist. Before we continue, we shall refute the atheist. The atheists claim that there is no supreme being. And people who are attracted to atheism are normally scientists, especially the physicists. The reason why scientists, people who study science, are attracted to atheism is because they are suffering from a complex. Not a superiority complex, something worse than that. They are suffering from a God complex. So they claim there is no God. This universe came about by a Big Bang. The Big Bang theory. The person who formulated that theory needs a Big Bang in his head. ball of acid came together, there was an explosion, and the world came about by an accident. Anything that came about by an accident continues to exist by accident. But if you should examine the world in which you are living in, everything is in a set format. The night overtakes the day overtakes the night. The sun doesn't refuse to shine. The rain doesn't refuse to fall. The world is all right. Everything is all right. It's we, the human beings, who are not all right. But the universe is all right. The mountains play the roles of peg. Allah said, وَجَعَلَ الرَّوَاسِيَ. The mountains play the roles of peg so that the earth doesn't wobble as you traverse, you travel along. Everything is in an orderly manner. The world is governed by a law which is called the law of nature. There is absolutely no law without a lawgiver. So who is the lawgiver of this universe, the law of nature? It could never be man because man doesn't know everything. Man is weak. A simple thing like common cold, he can't find a vaccine for that. For every disease there's a cure, and AIDS is baffling him. He doesn't know where to start. And every time he tries to tap the virus, it keeps replicating. It changes its course. It keeps replicating, so he cannot trap the AIDS virus. Man is weak. So man is not the lawgiver of nature. We ask the atheist, are you the creation or are you the creator? He will have to say he is what? The creation. Because if he says he is the creator, we are going to ask him to create a fly. And the greatest scientist on earth can't even create a house fly. So he has to admit he is the creation. Question number two. Is there a creation without a creator? Impossible. There is no such thing as a creation without a creator. Question number three. Did you create yourself? Impossible. You cannot create yourself. So the atheist has to agree inevitably that he was created by a supreme being. Therefore, atheists don't have any feet to stand upon. This is your dialogue with an atheist. The great scholar of Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, Abu Hanifa, had a dialogue with an atheist. When he came and met the atheist, he said, when I was coming, I had to cross a big river. I didn't know how to swim. But I saw an axe fall in the tree, and the saw cut the tree up into slabs. The hammer was behind the nail. A boat was made, and I rode in the boat and crossed the river. This is why it was possible for me to be with you now. The atheist said, Abu Hanifa, you are crazy. A boat cannot come about by itself. The great scholar of Islam, Abu Hanifa, said to the atheist, listen to yourself. You are the one who is crazy because you claim that a simple thing like a boat cannot come about by itself, yet you believe that this vast universe with all of its planets came about by itself. And so the atheist was defeated. Another atheist debated with another scholar. He said, if you can show me God, I will believe that there is a God. Seeing is believing. He said, okay, meet me 12 o'clock and I will show you God. He said, look up in the sun. He looked for approximately 2 seconds. His head was down. He said, look, keep your eyes fixed inside the sun. Look up in the sun. He looked for approximately 2 seconds. His eyes were down. He said, you want to blind me? I can't look at that. He said, look at yourself. You cannot look at the creation, yet you want to look at the creator. And when Moses asked, oh Allah, let me look at you. Allah said, look at the mountain. If it can stand in its place, then you can see me. And what happened to the mountain when Allah exposed His glory to the mountain? It crumbled and became powder. And Moses, when he saw that, he fell down and fainted. The Islamic concept of God, we do not describe Allah with human qualities. So we don't say God rested on the seventh day, neither slumber nor sleep overtakes Him. We do not believe that He repented. In Genesis 6 verse 6 of the Bible, it says, when God saw how wicked man was, He repented that He made man, and He was hurt in His heart. We don't describe God with human qualities. It's below his dignity and majesty to do certain things. In the same book, Genesis 32 verse 24, it says that Jacob wrestled with God. Genesis 32 verse 24. God came in the form of a man and wrestled with Jacob. God said to Jacob, "Let me go, let me go." Jacob said, "I will never let you go unless you bless me." In other words, I'm giving you a deal. If you bless me, I'll let you go. "Let me go, or else the sun will not shine." He said, "What is your name?" "My name is Jacob." God said, "From now on, your new name is Israel, because you fought with man and you won, and you fought with God and you won." We shall continue. We don't believe that the Almighty beget children. The greatest surah in the Quran is called Surah Ikhlas. In this surah, Allah said, "Kul wallahu ahad," say Allah is one. God is one. Not three in one or one in three. One. He has no partners. Allahu samad, he is eternal, without any beginning and no ending. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, he has no children, nor does he have any parents. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad, and there is nothing in heavens above nor the earth below which is similar to Allah, which is comparable unto Allah. This is the greatest chapter in the Holy Quran. We do not believe that God Almighty beget children. It's a human act, an animal act. So if you ask a person, "Do you believe God Almighty goes to the loo? Do you believe he eats food? Do you believe he drinks?" These acts are human acts. And the person may think the questions are ridiculous, ludicrous. So you ask the person, "Do you believe he beget a son?" The person will have to agree inevitably that it's not for him to beget a son. The same way you deny the notion that he eats, he drinks, he goes to the loo, you have to deny the notion that he beget children, because all these acts are of the same nature, human acts. So you cannot use the argument, "Everything is possible for God, so why can't he beget a son?" Your argument is exactly similar to the man who says, "Everything is possible for God, so why can't he be treacherous, atrocious, and break his promises?" That's the same argument. So we believe that God Almighty has the power to do everything, but there are certain actions that are below his dignity and majesty. We do not attribute human qualities to God Almighty. So we practice de-anthropomorphism, meaning we strip Allah of all the human qualities that people falsely attributed unto him. We believe that he has two hands, but it doesn't look like our hands. Allah said in the Holy Quran, in Surah Sa'd, verse 75, "Ya Iblis, O Iblis," in other words, the shaitan. Another word for the shaitan, the devil, is Iblis. "Ma mana'ak an tasjud lima khalaqtu biyadayya." What is it that prevented you from bowing down to what I, God Almighty, created with my own two hands? Yadayya. So God Almighty has two hands, but it doesn't look like our hands. He has two feet, but it doesn't look like our feet. And the Arabic word yadayya means two hands. Do not think like the deviants who say it means power. It doesn't appear in the Arabic language. "Why didn't you bow down to what I created with my own two powers?" Yadayya. It means hands. Another Islamic concept of God: God doesn't appear on earth in the form of human beings or any of his creation. Allah said in Surah Shura, verse 51, "وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ." It is not right for man that Allah should speak to him except by wahy, revelation. He reveals things unto him, or he inspires him, the way God Almighty inspires the mother of Moses to put him in the basket and then put him in the river Nile. That's called inspiration. Or he speaks to man directly from behind a veil, the way God Almighty spoke to Moses from behind a veil, alayhi salam. Or he sends an angel to you, to the messenger or the prophet, to reveal unto the prophet whatsoever Allah wants him to reveal, the way he sent Gabriel to Moses Jesus, David, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the angel Gabriel. But as for God Almighty coming down on earth in the form of a human being and relating to us, that doesn't occur. Allah said in the Quran, it doesn't occur and it will never happen. So people like Louis Farrakhan, the racist of America, USA, who claimed that black people are gods and white people are the devils, he claimed that God Almighty came down on earth in the form of a man and teach them the rubbish that they are propagating. Also, we are not supposed to believe that God Almighty came down on earth in the form of Jesus, Muhammad, or Moses. So the concept, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, and the Word is Jesus. A man came to Jesus when he was alive. He's still alive in heaven, not in paradise, in heaven. No one is in paradise as yet. There's a vast difference between paradise and heaven. And said, "Oh, good master, what can I do to have eternal life?" I'm quoting to you from the book of Matthew 19, verse 17. Jesus said, "Why call me good? Why call me good? No one is good except God." If he was God, why did he rebuke the man, admonish the man, and said, "Why call me good? No one is good except God." Also, one day he went to a fig tree to pick fig. When he got there was no fig. He cursed the tree and he turned back. If he was God, he would have known that there was no fig on the tree before he even got there, because God is perfect. Therefore, he knows the past, the present, and the future perfectly well. The second reason why Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world, apart from its concept of God, it has a logical concept of God, it provides you with a logical answer for all of your questions, is because of its book, the Holy Quran. Allah said in the Quran, in Surah Muhammad, verse 24, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَكْفَالَهَا. Won't you contemplate on the Quran, or your hearts are sealed? In Surah Nisa, verse 82, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ إِنْدِي غَرَلَىٰ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Will you not contemplate on the Quran? Will you not ponder on the Quran? Had it been from a source other than Allah, you would have found in it many discrepancies, many contradictions, many far-fetchedness, many inconsistencies. So will you not ponder on the Holy Quran? Apart from the Quran having absolutely no mistakes, no discrepancies, no far-fetchedness, it coincides with modern-day science. So think of this book. It was revealed 1400 years ago to a man who was totally illiterate, Muhammad. Where was he living? Where was he residing? In the middle of the desert. He didn't have access to sophisticated science lab the way you today have access to sophisticated science labs. But yet in this book we have scientific facts that coincide with all the modern day discoveries of today. And there is absolutely no scientist under the heavens that can come and say Islam contradicts science. You may burn the scientists in Europe in the medieval ages because they prove you to be wrong. I'm speaking about the Christian monks who burnt their scientists and disgrace others like Galileo and many others. But there is no record in history in which the Islamic authority disrespected their scientists. Even the word algebra is an Arabic word. The circulatory system, the respiratory system, the digestive system, all these were taught by scientists in Islamic Spain. Islamic Spain is the gateway to science in Europe. It was the seat of learning for the whole of Europe. I give you an example where the Holy Quran coincides with science. Our topic is not the Holy Quran and science, so I will just give you one example. I don't want to bore you with many examples. We have another sitting for that. Allah said in Surah Ar-Rahman, verse 19 to 20, مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. In the ocean, there are two types of water, the salt and the fresh. They come together, they meet, but they do not interwoven and mix with each other. Why? Because between them there is a barrier. Which is it of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Approximately 10 years ago, an American scientist from French origin discovered that in the ocean, there is a barrier between the two types of water. So even though they meet, they do not interwoven and mix with each other because the barrier is there. We the Muslims say to that scientist, you are not teaching us anything new. Because our book, the Holy Quran, which was revealed more than 1400 years ago, have already testified to that scientific fact. Therefore, you didn't benefit us with anything. So how on earth a book which was revealed 1400 years ago to an unlettered prophet who was living in the middle of the desert, how is it that his book which he brought coincide with modern day science? This is so because the Holy Quran was revealed by Allah the Almighty, and Allah is the author of the Quran, and there is no inconsistencies between the revelation of Allah and the creation of Allah, which is science. Another reason why the Quran, why Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world today, is because we are unique. We the Muslims are unique in the sense that we believe in all the prophets. In Islam, there are six pillars of faith: to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, to believe in all His prophets and messengers, to believe in Judgment Day, and to believe in destiny, the good and the bad thereof. In other words, what is to be must be. If it was predestined for you to die when you are 50, you won't die when you are 25. What is to be must be. Everything is predestined. So we believe in destiny. There is no other religion on the face of the earth today that makes it compulsory on its followers to believe in all the prophets and to love them and respect them. There is no religion on the face of the earth today that makes it compulsory on its followers to believe in all the prophets, except Al-Islam. So we are unique where that is concerned. The fourth reason, the Islamic sense of justice. We have a keen sense of justice. Therefore, Allah has right over us, and we have rights over Allah. Allah's right over us is to worship Him alone without associating partners with Him. The worst crime you can commit under the heavens is not with your hands or your private parts or your tongue. The worst crime you can commit is with your heart, and that is to believe in false deities, to worship false gods. It is called shirk, polytheism, paganism. So Allah has rights over us, we have rights over Allah. Our right over Allah is that He should give us paradise if we worship Him alone. Your wives have rights over you, and you have rights over your wives. You, the parent, has rights over your children, and the children have rights over you. Islam is so keen in its sense of justice that even the animals have rights over us. Our brother Prophet Muhammad said, a woman was thrown into the hellfire to burn because she starved her cat to death. She didn't give it food nor water, and she locked it up in a cage. Then there was another woman who saw a dog panting from severe thirst, and she filled her shoes with water and quenched the thirst of the dog. God Almighty Allah forgave her of all her sins. Not only did Allah forgive her of all her sins, He gave her paradise. Who was this woman? A prostitute. What did she inherit? The paradise. What did she do? She expressed mercy to a dog. When did she live? During the time of Moses alayhi salam. In countries where the Islamic Sharia is not implemented, they have lost their sense of justice. So the rich get away with their crimes, while the poor, they suffer excruciatingly for their crimes. So in countries where people do not implement the Sharia, Sometimes others are killed. And because they belong to the wrong race, they are not, the people who kill them are not held accountable. Sometimes the rich do murder and they get away. For example, the O.J. Simpson trial. If it was a poor man, whether the man is black or white, if it was a poor man who was in the shoes of O.J. Simpson, they would lock him up and throw away the key. But because he was rich, famous, movie star, football star, they bring all the cameras in the court and make a circus out of it, a business out of it, and set him free. There is absolutely no justice unless the Islamic law, the Islamic Sharia, is implemented, because Allah said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Verily, anyone who does not implement what Allah has revealed, he doesn't govern by what Allah has revealed, he is an oppressor. The Holocaust in Bosnia, that is gruesome injustice. The war of Chechnya is also gruesome injustice. There are many other injustices that are being perpetrated today only because the world is being governed not by righteous people. The world today is being governed by the disbelievers. And a disbeliever, if he didn't fulfill the right of Allah, he did not give Allah, God Almighty, his right, how on earth can he give you your right? This is why they are unjust. Another reason why Islam is the fastest growing religion today is because of its universality. Whenever you go to the mosque, there is absolutely no racial images that are being displayed. You see black, white, yellow, brown, Arabs, non-Arabs. The universality. It's not like a religion like Hinduism in which you have to be born a Hindu. So if you go to a Hindu temple, you see mostly Asians, so you feel foreign. It's not like that. There are no racial images. Everyone is welcome. There is no such thing as a mosque which is exclusive to black or exclusive to Asians or exclusive to white. Islam is a religion that promotes universality. There is absolutely no racism in Islam. I perform many marriages since I've been here in the UK. Sometimes two young people come to me who are madly in love and they are Muslims. And the parents object. Why? In the name of racism. Do you know what we do when we have situations like this? We marry the two people and we don't even tell the parents when is the marriage or where is the venue. Racists shouldn't be given a chance. The first racist was the devil. When Allah commanded him to bow down to Adam, he said, I can't, I am better than him. You created me from fire. But as for him, Adam, you created him from clay, therefore I am better. Since I have arrived here in the UK, I've met many racists. I've met black racists, white racists, Asian racists, racists of all types. These people are following the footsteps of the devil. They are practicing the tradition of the devil, and these people are nothing but the devil. In Islam, there is absolutely no racism. So when you go for a Hajj to Mecca, you will pray shoulder to shoulder, black, white, yellow, brown, Arabs, non-Arabs. I've been to Hajj, and when you go to the Valley of Muzdalifah, you sleep outside in the open. Sometimes your pillow is a stone with people of all races. And when you go to Hajj, these cups, the same cup, same color, same shape, you drink the water of Zamzam. Sometimes when you drink from one cup, 100 people drank from the same cup that you drink from. People of all races. And you wear two pieces of cloth. Whatever your race, whatever your class in society, you wear the same two pieces of cloth. Hajj brings you down to size. When Malcolm X was taught the racist garbage that I've told you about, Farrakhan and Elijah Powell, that blacks are superior and they close the gates of Islam to all other races. When he went to Mecca and he saw the universality of Islam, he returned to America and proclaimed openly that what they were taught is rubbish. It has nothing to do with Islam. There is no racism in Islam. Islam is a religion that promotes universality. And what happened to him? He paid for this with his life. This is something else you have to know. The moment you open your mouth and speak the truth, you will gain enemies of all types. The sixth reason why Islam is the fastest growing religion today is because of its brotherhood and sisterhood. Anywhere in the world you go and you meet Muslims, you love them regardless of your land, language or labor. Anywhere in the world you go, you can interact with Muslims, even though you meet them for only 10 minutes, you interact with them as if to say you know them for 10 years. The Islamic brotherhood and the Islamic sisterhood is unparalleled. When the Prophet migrated, peace be upon him, from Mecca to Medina with his companions, the Muslims who left the city of Mecca to live in the city of Medina were penniless. So the Prophet put a Muslim from Mecca in the house of another Muslim from Medina to live. He turned to his Muslim brother and said, I have two wives. Tell me which one you love so that I can divorce her for you to have her for yourself. I have a big piece of land. I am willing to cut it in two equal halves for me and you. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf, who was given the offer, said, thank you, but no thanks. Just show me the marketplace and I'll be able to fend for myself. This is the Islamic brotherhood. It is unparalleled. On one occasion, they were on the battlefield and they were on the verge of death from severe thirst. Water was rushed to the battlefield. When they went to the first person to give the water, he said, don't give me the water, give it to my Muslim brother. He needs it more than me. They went to the third person, he said the same thing. Don't give me the water, give it to my Muslim brother. He needs it more than me. When they went to the third person, he said the same thing. When they came to the first person, they found him dead. The second, dead. The third, dead. So these companions, even when death was staring them in the face, they forego their needs to fulfill the needs of their Muslim brothers. This is the Islamic brotherhood. It is unparalleled. Even though Islam is being attacked by the news media, especially where women are concerned, they say for every man that embraces Islam, four women embrace. So why is it that Western women, including British women, are turning a deaf ear to what the news media has to say about Islam and are rushing into the fold of Islam? And there's a recent attack with the Taliban success in Afghanistan, in which they do not allow women to work nor to study. This is un-Islamic. So if Taliban is guilty of this, preventing women from working and studying, they have been oppressive and they have transgressed all bounds. Women should be allowed to work and study. If you deny this to women, you paralyze half of the society. The greatest scholar in Islam was a woman, Aisha. The first person to embrace Islam was a woman. The greatest scholar of Islam was a woman. The first person to die for Islam was a woman. And the person who the Prophet Muhammad loved best was a woman, Aisha. Islam gives maximum respect to women. This is why women are today rushing into the fold of Islam. Women are called the maidens of Allah, the handmaidens of Allah. The greatest place is paradise. All of you are yearning to go to paradise. Now, where is paradise? Our beloved Prophet Muhammad said, paradise is at the feet of women, mothers. Not at the feet of men. Paradise is at the feet of mothers. The Prophet, peace be upon him, went on to say, The best of you in regards to faith are those who are best in conduct. And those who are best in conduct are those who behave best towards their wives. So in Islam, we measure the goodness of a man by looking at his treatment towards his wife. We don't measure your goodness based upon your clothing and goodness of a man by examining the way he treats his wife. That's the good man in our eyes. So since we respect women, we do not put them in pubs to serve alcohol to men who are drunks. Since we respect women, we do not use the naked body of a woman to advertise every single item the way the kafirs do. The other day I saw an ad, they were advertising cornflakes, Keller's cornflakes. I didn't understand what they were advertising. All I could see is a naked body of a woman. Sometimes they're advertising a car, you don't know what they're advertising. You see more of the woman's body than the car. Since we respect women, we do not use women to produce pornographic materials. When you produce pornographic materials, you are sending subliminal messages out there to men. Women are only fit for the purpose to be used, misused, and abused. Why do you think rape is sky high? Because when a man sits down and looks at a pornographic video, he's hyped up. So when he leaves his flat or his apartment or his house, he's going to rape the first woman he sees. And this society is so unsafe that sometimes these perverts, they snatch children, girl children who are swinging in their backyards, snatch them from their backyards, rape them, strangle them, and then dump them. It happens a lot in this country. Now, this is because of inconsistency in the system. The beauty about Islam is consistency. Now, in this country, the same judge who give a license to the man to open his sex shop in Soho, in the West End, to sell these dirty magazines and videos, is the same judge who throws a man in prison for being a pervert after looking at these magazines. The same judge. The same judge who gives a man a license to open a pub or an off license, it's the same judge who sentences a man in prison for 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years for drinking and driving. The same judge. We call this gruesome inconsistencies. And this is a result because people, whenever they abandon heavenly revealed laws, the Quran, and follow man-made laws, they end up heading into one direction, and that direction is destruction. This is man. Contradicts himself. So Allah said, if you reflect on the Quran, you will find in it absolutely no contradictions. The eighth reason why Islam is the fastest growing religion today is because we wage war on poverty with the system of zakah. So we take money from the pockets of the rich and we put it in the pockets of the poor in the name of zakah. But as for the unbelievers, they take money from the pockets of the poor people and put it in the pockets of the rich people in the name of what? I can't hear you. Interest. Interest. So these societies, they always suffer from a recession. So you want to start a business, you borrow money from the bank, you open your store, but they are charging you so much interest on a monthly basis or a weekly basis. You cannot sell enough products to pay back the bank. So what happened to you? You become bankrupt. So you have to sack all your workers, make them redundant, and close your business. So anytime interest is rampant in a society, the recession becomes rampant. And anytime interest becomes rampant, people become crazy. The Prophet said, anytime people become crazy, anytime interest is rampant in a society, the people become crazy. Why they become crazy? Because they cannot handle
they cannot handle the mental depression that the system is placing on their shoulders. The ninth reason why Islam is the fastest growing religion today is because of its unique family structure, its tight family structure, a very tight family structure, in which the father respects the mother and the mother respects the father, in which the children love their parents and the parents love the children. So in the Islamic family structure, there is no such thing as unwanted pregnancies, because we marry before we cohabit. So the children are loved. Not by an accident they came about, by a fling, no, by carefully calculated family structure. When our parents become old, we don't dump them in homes that are secluded, exclusive for old people. Sometimes we don't look for them for a whole month, 6 months, a whole year. We don't care if they are alive or they are dead. In Islamic countries, there is no such thing as homes for old people. We look after our parents. We love and respect our parents, and we do not talk back to our parents, because Allah said, don't even say oof to your parents, don't frown at your parents. The Islamic family structure is very tight. The tenth reason why Islam is the fastest growing religion today is because we are a balanced nation. We are balanced. Allah said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Likewise, we have made you Muslims a balanced nation, so that you'll be a witness against mankind, and he, the messenger Muhammad, will be a witness against you. Surah Baqarah 143. So we are in the middle between Christians and Jews. The Christians, they idolize Jesus and they worship him as a third in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus is a third in the Trinity, and they worship the Trinity, the three person in the Godhead. That's one extreme. While the Jews, they refuse to accept him as a Messiah and a prophet. They even classify him as being a bastard child, and that his mother was a harlot who used to have recent crushes on carpenters. This is in their Talmud. We, the Muslims, we do not despise Jesus, nor do we exaggerate in our love for Jesus by worshipping him. We accept him as a prophet and messenger. We are in the middle between the monks and the people who are promiscuous. The promiscuous person, a person who cohabits here, there, and everywhere in the atmosphere without any discretion. The monk, he abstains from women or the bishop or the priest. And the sexual instinct is a very powerful instinct. So when you abstain from women, you are embarking on a terrible program, because the spermatozoa was given to you by Allah for it to come out of your body. It has to come out. Allah didn't create it in your body to stay. It has to come out. So if it doesn't come out in the right way, it's going to come out in the wrong way. And the wrong way is masturbation, fornication, homosexuality, rape, bestiality, and so on and so forth. Same thing with the woman. The ovum was created for it to come out. So if it doesn't come out in the right way, it's going to come out in the wrong way, the ways that I've just quoted unto you. So the Prophet Muhammad said, marriage is my way. Any one of you who doesn't get married, such a person is not of me. So since you will engage in wrong acts, sinful acts, you are not of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We do not abstain from marriage like the monks, the priests, and there has to be an outlet. And the outlet is heavy drinking, masturbation, homosexuality, fornication, and many other perverted outlets. Nor do we behave promiscuous. We practice the middle way, which is marriage. We are in the middle between the person who is materialistic, who worships the pound sterling. All he cares about is money. And the person who exaggerates in his love for religion. We love money as well as religion. We do not give up one for the sake of the other. We love both. We pay attention to both religion and worldly matters. We are a balanced nation. The 11th reason, Islam is a complete package. So Allah said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam dinan. This day I have perfected for you your religion I have completed all my favors unto you, and I have chosen for you Islam as your way of life. So since Islam is a complete package, we cater for the human being spiritually, socially, academically, psychologically, financially, militarily, politically, nationally, and internationally. Islam is a complete package. There is absolutely nothing which is left out. A complete way of life. This is why we have something that we call the Islamic State. The 12th reason why Islam is the fastest growing religion today is because of its keen sense of moral and ethics. Its keen sense of morality. Whenever you become a practicing Muslim, you have a conscience. So shameful deeds like smoking, gambling, sex before marriage, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, you abhor these things. Many people may argue that smoking is not wrong because it's not clear cut in the Quran. We say to you, smoking is sinful because it is suicide. It is suicide, and they are not allowed to commit suicide. Smoking is sinful because you are wasting your wealth. And the wasters are the brothers of the devil. Allah said, the wasters are the brothers of the devil. Smoking is sinful because you are starting unnecessary fire. Many smokers, they fall asleep in their chair with the cigarette between their fingers, and they burn their house down and kill themselves. Smoking is sinful because it forces you outside the company of the pious, the righteous, and causes you to end up in the company of those who are impious. Smoking is sinful because you are imitating the kuffar, and anyone who imitates a people become one of them. Smoking is sinful because it makes the fast of Ramadan a burden on you. A burden on you to fast in the holy month of Ramadan. Smoking is sinful because when the Prophet Muhammad went to heaven, he saw hell. Hell was shown to him, and the people of hell, smoke was coming from their mouth and their nostrils. When you smoke, you behave like the people of the hellfire. You are not supposed to behave like the people of the hellfire. You are supposed to behave like the people of paradise. Smoking is sinful because it causes you to have bad breath. So you offend your friends with your bad breath. And when you have a bad breath, the angels do not protect you. The angels that are supposed to protect you, they do not protect you, and they do not help you when you need help, the way some companions were losing the battle because they didn't practice the sunnah of the miswak. These are the most important reasons why smoking is not allowed in Islam. We have a keen sense of morality, therefore we abhor sins. Islam gives you a conscience. Before I became a Muslim, I didn't have the concept of halal and haram. You do what you like if you enjoy doing it. That's the concept you have. No conscience. And there is no guilt. When you are not a Muslim, there is absolutely no guilt. But when you are a practicing Muslim, you feel guilt for wasting your wealth. Guilt for smoking. Drink. The drinking of alcohol, you feel guilt. Guilt for adultery. Guilt for homosexuality. Guilt for lesbianism. Guilt for fornication. It gives you guilt. And you feel like you are drawing nearer to God Almighty. You feel like you are drawing nearer to Allah, and you feel a change in your program, a change in your heart, a change in your behavior. It gives you the awareness that Allah is ever watching over you, so you don't need closed circuit cameras to watch you. You don't need closed circuit cameras to watch you because God Almighty is always watching you. This is what Islam does to you. It gives you a keen sense of morality, moral and ethics, and it gives you a conscience. The 13th and last reason why Islam is the fastest growing religion today is because it gives the person a sense of security. In this country, and many countries, in this country to be specific, every minute a car is stolen, every 5 minutes a house is broken into, or a woman is raped. I have a car, and when I go to bed, the first thing I do when I wake up is look through the window to see if the car is still there. And if it is still there, my heart is at ease. Why? Because I have my car nicked since I've arrived here. I had an XR3 and it got nicked. Now, when I came here in this country, I saw people walking around with car stereos in their hand. At first, I thought they were looking for a buyer. Then I was told that if they don't take it out, someone will nick it. Now, I live in Saudi Arabia for 8 years and I've never seen a pull-out stereo in my life. I've seen people in Mecca, in holy Mecca, selling expensive watches, Seiko, Citizen. And when the call for prayer is announced, he spreads a piece of cloth around his table that has the watches, and then he put 4 stones at the corner to keep the cloth down on the roadside. he will go to the mosque and pray, return, and not a single person lift up the cloth and steal one of his watches. I've seen that with my own two eyes. When I was there, I didn't have to lock my door with the key. I just slammed the door and go to bed. When I arrived here, I saw people, not only do they lock their door, they have iron bars behind their door. So housebreaking burglary is an epidemic. You have a sense of security in the Islamic State because these things, these societal problems are eradicated. The hand of the thief is chopped. The murderer is killed. And Allah said, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. When you take life, you save life. What Allah said in the Quran, in Baqarah 179, when you take life, you save life. I will explain. There is a man who wants to kill someone, but he is living in the Islamic State. So he reflects, if I should kill that person, the Islamic State will kill me. So I can't afford to die because I have a wife and children, so let me abstain from killing. So because you implement the Islamic law, you save the life of the man who he was planning to kill, and you save his life because he abstained from killing. So Allah said, when you take life, you save life. So in the Islamic State, there is a sense of security. You're not afraid of having your wealth being stolen, nor are you afraid for your life, nor are you afraid for your character, because we give 80 lashes to those who slander others without a valid evidence. You should not think that you are living in a utopia when you were a witness to the Rosemary West disaster. You should not think that everything is fair and square whenever a minute a car is stolen and sexually transmitted diseases are an epidemic. It's an epidemic, but they don't want to tell you because they don't want to create horror and terror. It's an epidemic. So be wise. Do not sleep with anyone on campus. Abstain from people. And another advice, sometimes before you marry someone, let them do the AIDS test. If you marry them, let them do the AIDS test, submitted to you. Don't be too trusting. It's an epidemic, but they don't want to tell you because they don't want to create horror and terror. You should not think that you are living in a utopia when drugs are an epidemic and murder is an epidemic, housebreaking and theft, mugging, all these things, societal problems are epidemics. You should not think that everything is fair and square when you were a witness to the Dunblane disaster and many other disasters which I don't want to bore you with. We say to the Christian monks, bishops, priests and politicians, you have many years to set things right. And the way things are going, you have failed miserably because all these crimes are rising instead of falling. So we say to you, give Islam a chance. Embrace Islam and give Allah a chance. Heavenly revealed laws. These are the 13 most prominent reasons why Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world today. I will now close. And I close by saying thank you very much for listening.
Question is, which direction is the Kaaba, and could we please borrow a compass? And that I'll deal it personally after the talk. We've got a compass, and whoever the person is, please could you see me after the talk? Next question is, what is the difference between heaven and paradise? And did the Islam apply chopping the hand
of a thief
for the first time?
Yes, ma'am. There's a vast difference between heaven and paradise. These two words are used interchangeably, so because of that many people entertain the idea that they are the same, but there's a vast difference between heaven and paradise. We all know that Adam was placed in the garden, and when he approached the forbidden tree, he was casted out of the garden. Now this garden he was in was heaven. It wasn't paradise. And Jesus is not on earth at the moment, he is in heaven. Paradise, if you enter paradise, you won't be thrown out. You will abide therein forever and ever. And Allah himself made a difference between heaven and paradise. So when Allah is describing paradise, he said, Jannat Adin, gardens of eternity, paradise. And when Allah described heaven, he said, Jannah, Uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. O Adam, dwell thou and thy wife in heaven, in Jannah. So Allah himself makes a difference, so we should not think that they are the same, even though we use these two words interchangeably. And the first thing that Allah revealed was not to cut the hand of the thief or to flog the drinker or the fornicator, but the first thing was to believe in Allah alone as one, monotheism.
Thank you, brother. Next question is, can you please not call Allah He, as He does not have a sex like we do? And would you like to answer this?
Yeah, I'll answer that. Allah Himself referred to Himself as He in the Quran. So Allah said, Kul hu Allahu ahad. Say, He, Allah is one. So if Allah called Himself He, why shouldn't I call Allah He? Kul hu Allahu ahad. And the reason why Allah called Himself He is because this pronoun is the most appropriate pronoun to attribute to Allah.
Are there any more questions, brothers and sisters?
We could take questions from the floor.
We can take directly questions from you. If you would like to speak, I'll repeat them.
I may have misunderstood, but I believe you said that you thought rape was a direct product of having no pornographic material. Do you think not that rape is as much about violence and power over another individual, male rape and female rape, not just pornographic material? And if you think that rape is just because, you know, these men think these magazines and then they go out and perpetrate that crime, how do you explain the recent increase in male rape in this country, for example?
Yeah, you have to understand that there's an increase in male porn magazines as well. So it contributes to the increase in male rape and homosexuality. There's an increase in homosexuality. And this is one of the signs of the last days in which people, women will satisfy their lust on women and men will satisfy their lust on other men. And they do this because of economic reasons. A man doesn't want to get married and have children because it has financial commitments. While why should I get married when I can cohabit with another man and get the same amount of pleasure? That's what they are calculating. It's because of economic reasons, and people will become materialistic in the last days, and we are living in the last days. There's absolutely no doubt that people rape because of different reasons. Some men get a kick, an excitement out of raping a woman to disempower her and rape her. So some rapists are sick in the head and they don't have to look at a pornographic magazine to be a rapist. So rape doesn't occur just because of porn materials. It occurs because of various reasons, and some men rape because they are deprived of women. For example, a person was locked up in prison. If you let him out, it's like you let a lion loose. He's searching for a prey, and if he cannot find a woman in the right way, then he will rape. Because, as I said before, the sperm has to come out. If it doesn't come out, it will drive the person crazy. And the craziness that they do is rape and homosexuality and so on and so forth. So your statement is correct that some men rape because they are sick in the head. They are psychopaths who want to disempower a woman and forcefully cohabit with her and think that it is macho. It is enforcing his will on the woman and she cannot do anything about it. And I would like to encourage the women that they should dress modestly so that they do not incite these evil men in the society.
Brothers and sisters, any more questions?
Yeah. No. Your prophet has brought them down, they're not dressed any time, dressed very easily, and yet you find them grateful, I think, that in the community, you do everything, and yet you find them grateful.
Yes, some men also, they get a kick out of raping innocent women. So it has the opposite effect. Sometimes you dress properly and you become a victim of rape, because some men are like the devil. They like to take away from an innocent person their innocence. They like to snatch from someone his or her innocence. So your statement is correct as well.
Yes.
Reason for the Western media to attack Islam? Why is it being so? Why do you think it's
The reason why there's an increase in the Western media attacking Islam is because Islam is a complete package. We have what we call the Islamic State. When you take a look at a religion like Hinduism or Buddhism, there is no such thing as a Buddhist faith, in which there is a political system, a spiritual system, an economic system, a financial system, a national system, and an international system. So if Islam is a complete package, obviously it will be a threat to another system, which is the man-made system. So they feel threatened of having their system being replaced with Islam. This is why there's an increase in attack on Islam.
Yes. Okay.
Is there a country that fully operates in Islamic State?
In my opinion, there is no country that fully implements the Islamic law, the Sharia, Quran and Sunnah. However, there are countries that are working towards that, and these countries are Sudan, Iran, Pakistan and Afghanistan. They are working towards that. Now, the reason why the countries like Iran is not an Islamic state is because they allow things that are not allowed. For example, temporary marriage. You can marry a woman for a week if you want, and then the marriage certificate expires, like the way your MOT expires. This is not allowed in Islam. They allow that marriage, so because of that they cannot be classified as an Islamic state. And the reason why the Sudan cannot be classified as an Islamic state is because they want to implement the Sharia in stages. You have to implement it all at once, because we are not waiting for any Quran to be revealed. All of the Quran has already been revealed, so you have to implement it all at once. It appears if Taliban in Afghanistan is making the right approach towards implementing it, because they stop alcohol and all the societal problems all at once. However, I hear on the news media that they deny women the right to education and to work. I hope it's not the truth. It's not the truth. Because if it is the truth, then they cannot be classified as an Islamic state, because they oppress women, and you are not supposed to oppress someone in the Islamic state. So we just have to hope that it's not the truth.
Yes.
Does the Quran say anything about
homosexuality? Is it possible to be
Muslim and gay?
Is that?
I don't know.
The Prophet.
Shouldn't laugh. I don't know.
The Prophet Muhammad, she's asking, is it possible for a man to be gay and be a Muslim at the same time? This is what the sister is asking. If it is, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us that if you catch two men in the act, both are to be killed. Now, we have a book called the Quran, but there's another book similar to this book, but it is in 9 volumes, same size but 9 volumes, which is called Hadith, the sayings and the doings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now in the Hadith has the same power to make things compulsory on us or to forbid us from doing things. In the Hadith, we were told that by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, if you catch two men in the act, then you should kill both of them. And in another hadith, it says that if you catch two women practicing lesbianism, then you should flog them 100 lashes. Now the reason why the women are flogged but the men are killed is because it's not possible for a woman to enter another woman, while it's possible for a man to enter another man. So the nature of the sin is different. Now, and also all the books before the Quran condemns homosexuality, even in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 20, verse 13, this is the Bible. It says that if a man also lie with another man as he lied with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. So it's not just the Quran, it's also in the Bible as well as the Torah and all the other books that were revealed before.
Brothers and sisters, as we have very little time, and there's a booking at 3:30, as someone has booked this room, so we cannot continue for long. I'll take just the last question from here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
تلك الرسل فضلنا بعضهم على بعض منهم من كلم الله ورفع بعضهم درجات وآتينا عيسى ابن مريم البينات وأيدناه بروح القدس ولو شاء الله ما اقتتل الذين من بعدهم من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات ولكن اختلفوا فمنهم من آمن ومنهم من كفر ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد.
Of those messengers, some of whom we have caused to excel others, and of whom there are some unto whom Allah spake, while some of them he exalted above others in degree. And we gave Jesus, son of Mary, clear proofs of Allah's sovereignty, and we supported him with the Holy Spirit. And if Allah had so willed it, those who followed after them would not have fought one with another after the clear proofs had come unto them. But they differed, some of them believing and some disbelieving. And if Allah had so willed it, they would not have fought one with another, but Allah doeth what he will.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون.
O ye who believe, spend of that wherewith we have provided you ere a day come when there will be no trafficking, nor friendship, nor intercession. The disbelievers, they are the wrongdoers.
Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Lahu ma fi al-samawati wa ma fi al-ard. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ.
Allah, there is no God save Him, the Alive, the Eternal. Neither slumber nor sleep overtaketh Him. Unto Him belongeth whatsoever is in the heavens and whatsoever is in the earth. Who is he that intercedeth with Him save by His leave? He knoweth that which is in front of them, and that which is behind them, while they encompass nothing of his knowledge, save what he will. His throne includeth the heavens and the earth, and he is never weary of preserving them. He is the sublime, the tremendous.
لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم.
There is no compulsion in religion. The right direction is henceforth distinct from error. And he who rejecteth false deities and believeth in Allah hath grasped a firm handhold which will never break. Allah is hearer, knower.
الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون.
Allah is the protecting friend of those who believe. He bringeth them out of darkness into light. As for those who disbelieve, their patrons are false deities. They bring them out of light into darkness. Such are rightful owners of the fire. They will abide therein.
ألم تر إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين.
Bethink thee of him who had an argument with Abraham about his Lord, because Allah had given him the kingdom. How, when Abraham said, My Lord is he who giveth life and causeth death. He answered, I give life and cause death. Abraham said, Lo, Allah causeth the sun to rise in the east, so do thou cause it to come up from the west. Thus was the disbeliever abashed, and Allah guideth not wrongdoing folk.
أو كالذي مر على قرية وهي خاوية على عروشها قال أنى يحيي هذه الله بعد موتها فأماته الله مئة عام ثم بعثه قال كم لبثت قال لبثت يوما أو بعض يوم قال بل لبثت مئة عام فانظر إلى طعامك وشرابك لم يتسنه وانظر إلى حمارك ولنجعلك آية للناس وانظر إلى العظام كيف ننشزها ثم نكسوها لحما فلما تبين له قال أعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير.
Or bethink thee of the like of him who, passing by a township which had fallen into utter ruin, exclaimed, How shall Allah give this township life after its death? And Allah made him die 100 years, then brought him back to life. He said, How long hast thou tarried? The man said, I have tarried a day or part of a day. He said, Nay, but thou hast tarried for 100 years. Just look at thy food and drink which have rotted. Look at thine ass. And that we may make thee a token unto mankind, look at the bones, how we adjust them, and then cover them with flesh. And when the matter became clear unto him, he said, I know now that Allah is able to do all things.
وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قَالَ فَخُذْ 4 مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم.
And when Abraham said unto his Lord, My Lord, show me how thou givest life to the dead. He said, Dost thou not believe? Abraham said, Yea, but I ask in order that my heart may be at ease. His Lord said, Take four of the birds and cause them to incline unto thee. Then place a part of them on each hill. Then call them. They will come to thee in haste. And know that Allah is mighty, wise.
مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم.
The likeness of those who spend their wealth in Allah's way is as the likeness of a grain which groweth 7 ears. In every ear 100 grains. Allah giveth increase manifold to whom He will. Allah is all-embracing, all-knowing.
الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
Those who spend their wealth for the cause of Allah and afterward make not reproach and injury to follow that which they have spent, their reward is with their Lord, and there shall no fear come upon them, neither shall they grieve.
قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
A kind word with forgiveness is better than almsgiving followed by injury. Allah is absolute, clement.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى كالذي ينفق ماله رئاء الناس ولا يؤمن بالله. لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى كالذي ينفق ماله رئاء الناس ولا يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فمثله كمثل صفوان عليه تراب فأصابه وابل فمثله كمثل صفوان عليه تراب فأصابه وابل فتركه صلدا لا يقدرون على شيء مما كسبوا والله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين.
O ye who believe, render not vain your almsgiving by reproach and injury, like him who spendeth his wealth only to be seen of men and believeth not in Allah and the last day. His likeness is as the likeness of a rock whereon is dust of earth. A rainstorm smiteth it, leaving it smooth and bare. They have no control of aught of that which they have gained. Allah guideth not the disbelieving folk.
ومثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم ابتغاء مرضات الله وتثبيتا من أنفسهم كمثل جنة بربوة أصابها وابل فآتت أكلها ضعفين كمثل جنة بربوة أصابها وابل فآتت أكلها ضعفين فإن لم يصبها وابل فطل والله بما تعملون بصير.
And the likeness of those who send their wealth in search of Allah's pleasure and for the strengthening of their souls is as the likeness of a garden on a height. The rainstorms...